Pardon me, if you can find two places in Scripture, find 1 Kings, chapter 18, 1 Kings 18. And then leave a finger there. Just leave one. That's all you need, one finger there. And then go over to Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew 7. 1 Kings 18 and Matthew chapter 7. I started a series last week entitled From the Bible, in 1 Kings 18, verse 21. I'll just read that one verse, and then we'll go over to Matthew chapter 7. In 1 Kings chapter 18, and I gave a story last week, and we don't have time for that this morning, but I trust that you, if you've not read that passage of Scripture, you should read 1 Kings 18 and see what Elijah was going through and how he won the battle against 850 different prophets of Baal on the side of Mount Carmel in an amazing and incredible story on how God showed his power in the presence of not just Elijah and Ahab, but also in the presence of all the people of Israel. But a very interesting question is given here in chapter 18 and verse 21 of 1 Kings. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people answered him, "Not a word." The word halt there that's used in that verse means to hip or skip and get off the fence. Another definition that I saw when I was looking this up is to dance around. You ever heard that little phrase? Stop dancing around and get to the point. And so we as Christians, we as individuals, there are only two decisions that you can make in life, pretty much. And we're going to look at some of those here. We looked at some last week. We'll look at some more this morning. But how long halt ye between two opinions? How long are you going to be bouncing back and forth, dancing back and forth, skipping around until you make a decision? Elijah put it on the people and said, listen, if the Lord be God, then follow him. If Baal be God, follow him. And of course, Elijah proved that the Lord God was God. Amen. Baal could not send fire down. Baal could not take care of that offering that Elijah had set up or the people had set up. But God answered the prayer of Elijah and proved who he was. And so at the end of that whole scenery, when Elijah was done with that and the fire came down and consumed and did all of it that it did, it proved that God was the Lord or the Lord was God. And the people made a choice right after that they were going to follow God. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. And so they made that choice. Unfortunately, they didn't stay with that choice very long. They did what a lot of people do today. They get saved, they get excited, God becomes their God, the Bible becomes their book, prayer becomes their thing, church becomes a place to be every service, and then after a while they kind of fizzle out. Because something or somebody or whatever stepped in and became another God to them. That's what happens. It happens all the time. Go over to Matthew chapter 7. This is where we're going to kind of take off and springboard into this message today. Last week, just briefly, I talked about two masters. God or mammon. God or money. God or material things. There's only two. You're either going to follow God or you're going to follow the world and follow the things of the world and chase after all of your things that you want to have in life. Secondly, we talked about the two different ways that people go. There's only two. There's not three or four. Not all roads lead to heaven. Not all religions lead to heaven. There's only two. And there was two ways. Man's way or God's way. Man's way will lead you off into a whole different direction, but God will always lead you to him. And then we talked about the two trees in the Garden of Eden. Just two that God said. You can eat all of the trees of the garden. There's only one that you are not to eat. But there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then there was the tree of life. And instead of choosing the tree of life and living forever, they chose the tree of death. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's what they partook of. Eve first, and then she gave it to Adam, and then he ate of that fruit. And their eyes were opened, they became sinners instantaneously and spiritually, not physically, but spiritually they died right then and there. And God had, He didn't have to come up with a way. He already knew what He was going to do, but
right.
God came up with a way to bring reconciliation to them, to Him, in which He did, in which that is still in practice today. We can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. Here in Matthew chapter 7, let me read verses 15 and just a few verses. I'm going to pray and we're going to get into this. It says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Father, thank You that we could gather together here today. Thank You, Lord, for the Word of God that we have. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege of gathering and just having a message and having a time, Lord, together. I thank You for that. Thank You, Lord, for the fellowship that we can have. And thank You, Lord, for the singing. Lord, we just praise You and thank You for all Your goodness and all Your mercy to us. Thank You, Lord, for the sunshine that You've given us today. Thank You, Lord, for the air that we breathe and the water that we drink. And thank You, Lord, for the beauty of nature. Thank You, Lord, for the creation that we can experience and see. Lord, we're so blessed today. Lord, I pray that You bless this message. Use it for Your honor and for Your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, Jesus is preaching. He's actually expounding here. And He talks about these two different fruits He mentions here in this passage of Scripture. There's only two. There's either the good fruit or the corrupt fruit. That's all He mentions here. He doesn't mention any other fruit, and He's dealing with some issue that He's trying to, again, get people to recognize and visualize in like a parable when He talks about two different trees here in this passage of Scripture. We've got the good tree that brings forth good fruit. We've got the evil tree that brings forth a corrupt fruit. And so He is using this analogy to try to get a message across that, listen, there's only two. There's good fruit or there's corrupt fruit or evil fruit or bad fruit. The Bible says, Jesus says, "By their fruits ye shall know them." Now, what is He talking about? Well, verse 15, it makes it very clear that he says, "Beware of false prophets. Beware of those that claim to know the truth but fail to actually live the truth." He says, "Beware of these false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing." It's interesting that everybody that comes in this manner comes in the sheep's clothing. But they're not always sheep. They might look like a sheep. They might look nice. They might wear their tie right. They might even have purple and nice, dress nice and be able to impress people with their looks. But it doesn't mean anything other than the way they look on the outside. We look at people on the outside. God looks upon our hearts.
Amen.
We can judge people, and I know you don't like that, but the Bible makes it very clear that we are allowed to judge in certain things. One of them is false or truth. That's how we are to judge. We are to look. Is this church or is this preacher or this person, are they preaching the truth from the Word of God, or are they teaching or preaching their own philosophies, their own beliefs,
right,
their own opinions?
Right.
Where are they coming from? And the Bible says that by their fruits ye shall know them.
Right.
What kind of fruits? Well, they're preaching fruits. They're teaching fruits. As Brother Corey made so clear this morning in Sunday school, doctrine. We need to teach doctrine. We need to teach
right.
what the Bible says about all aspects of living.
Amen.
We can't just give out a salvation message every service and expect people to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. We always throw in the salvation message
right.
because we don't know. There might be somebody in the church or where we're preaching that may not be saved. And so we always want to make sure that we at least explain the way that somebody can be saved by trusting Jesus Christ. You're not trusting a church. You're not trusting a person. You're trusting Jesus Christ. He's the one that died on the cross for you. But there's only two fruits. The fruit of the false prophet, which is corrupt fruit, or the fruit of the true, which is good fruit. You have to choose. You have to decide that. When you listen to somebody speak, again, are they preaching from the Word of God or are they preaching from something else? Jesus had to warn them this way because there was a lot. Listen, there was a lot of false prophets on the scene when Jesus showed up. They hadn't heard from God in over 400 years. From Malachi to Matthew, there was nothing. There was no open vision. There was no word from God at all for 400 years. You can imagine what they were going through at the time when Jesus shows up. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Peter 2 and verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Peter gives us warning in his second epistle, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Peter says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." So throughout our writings in the Bible, there's warnings in the Old Testament. Jesus comes along and warns in the New Testament. All of the apostles that wrote anything in the Word of God warn against false teachers, false prophets. Amen. And how do you determine if there is a false prophet or a false teacher around? You always determine that based upon the Word of God. Amen. There is no other standard to use. This is our authority in everything that we believe in. This is the reason that we have a church, is because of the Word of God, Seneca Bible Baptist Church. We stand on this. This is our foundation. The Word of God is what we stand upon. The Word of God is what we believe. The Word of God is what we teach and preach here. Regardless of if it's a missionary, an evangelist, the preacher, or one of our guys getting up tonight and preaching, we stand on the Word of God. We have to have an authority. We have to have a standard. There's always a standard somewhere in this world. I've maybe shared this with you before. When I worked at Crucible Steel, I was a supervisor of the metallurgical lab, and we had to have everything exactly perfect as we humans could get them, when it came to testing equipment. I was in charge of all of that, all of the testing equipment, making sure that it was up to standard, making sure that periodically, whether it was once a week, once a month, once a year, we had to calibrate those instruments, because you don't want to have a false testing result going out to a customer and having something blow up in an engine or whatever, which we had that happen before. A lot of the steel went into submarines. You don't want to have something happen into a submarine underwater that's going to cause the submarine to stop operating, so we had to calibrate those things. But we always calibrated to an exact standard. We had standards that we used to calibrate. We just didn't change the standard every month or every week or whatever it is we were calibrating. It was a consistent standard. And this is my consistent standard. This is your consistent standard. It's the Word of God. And so there's two fruits. You have to choose. Is it good fruit? Is it corrupt fruit? You have to make that choice. Go to John chapter 8, verse 44. Let's look at another one. Just going to hit a few of these things this morning. John 8. Not only is there two masters, two ways, two trees, two fruits. You know there's two fathers? There's two fathers mentioned in the Bible. Just two. Not a whole bunch, just two. Jesus says this in John 8:44. "Ye are of your father, the devil." What a warning is that? He is speaking to the Pharisees, he's speaking to the religious leaders, and he's saying to them, "Your father is the devil. And the lusts of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So when you think about fathers, the devil is a father, and then of course we know that God is a father. And so we either have God as our father, which I would much rather have than the devil, or the devil is your father. You determine that based upon what you believe. Now, if you don't believe in anything, and if you just kind of think you can go through life, skip through life, and just, you know, make it somehow, some way, when you take your last breath, then that's not a very smart way to go. There's two daddies in the world. God's our daddy. God is my daddy. My earthly father passed away in 07, November 16th, 2007, when my earthly father passed away. But my heavenly father has never died.
Amen.
My heavenly father will never, ever die.
Amen.
My heavenly father is an eternal father.
Amen.
My earthly father is in heaven. He's waiting for me to see him someday, and I will be reunited with my mom and dad someday. I haven't seen my earthly father since November 16th, 2007. But I talk to my heavenly father every day.
Amen.
I can't talk to my earthly father. You understand it, right? We don't talk to the dead. It's gone on. We don't do that. We only pray to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We pray through the Holy Spirit. We pray to God. But I'm so glad today that my Father is God Almighty.
Amen.
And so there's only two fathers. Based upon what you believe, you determine which father that you have. You have to, and you know probably the answer to that. You might think that God is your father, but again, the only way, and we're going to talk about this next, the only way to get from one father to the other father is by salvation in Jesus Christ,
right,
the Son of God the Father. He's the one that gives you the bridge from one family to the other family.
Amen.
Or from one father to the other father. And so, not only is there two fathers, but let's talk about the two families. There's only two families. Right? If there's two fathers, there's only two families. And that's all. Look at John chapter 1. Go back a few pages to John chapter 1. And verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. John 1, 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the what? The sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So who's my father today? My father is God Almighty.
Amen.
I'm his son. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the Creator of the universe.
Amen.
Think about that. And so are you if you're saved. You're a child of God. He's your daddy. He's your father. I'll always be a Fenton unless I change my name. I don't think I'll ever change my name. I have no reason to change my name. I'll always be a Fenton. We got another, my brother's back there. We've got other Fentons in the room here. My sons. This is the family that I'm from. Buck and I are from that same family. Right there, brother?
Sure.
So you got the memo with purple today. Thank you.
Yes.
Today's purple day. But we're of the same family. We had same parents. We actually have the same brothers. No sisters. But we're from that same family. Jim and Shirley Fenton had me and Buck and the other four of our brothers. That's the family we're from. But I have a heavenly father that now I'm his child.
Amen.
And so God, the Father, is my father. I am part of the family of God. Now remember, there's only two families. Now in here, we've got a lot of different families represented in this room. But they're really, spiritually, there's only two families.
That's right.
There's the family of God, and there's the family of the devil.
That's right.
That's the only two families I ever see in the Bible, is just those two. And so you're part of the one of those families that you can't be in between. You can't be part of another family somewhere when it comes to spiritual. And we're talking spiritual things, not physical things, but spiritual things. So you're part of one family or the other. Either God is your father or the devil is your father. Now let me explain this. When we get saved, there is an adoption process
Yes.
that takes place.
Amen.
This is good, folks. Boy, when you get a hold of this and you appreciate this, this'll give you chills up and down your spine.
That's right.
When I trusted Jesus Christ at the age of 17, I was living for the devil and I was following that family, and Satan was my father until the day that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
At that very moment when I trusted Christ as my Savior, God somehow spiritually took me out of the family of the devil and adopted me into His family.
Amen.
I'm an adopted child today into the family of God. And if you're saved, you are an adopted child from the one family into the other family.
Amen.
And from what I understand, and I don't know, I've never adopted. I've got a brother that has adopted three young people, three kids. But from what I understand, once you get adopted into a family, it's difficult to get unadopted from that family. There's a few circumstances, and there's only a handful of states that allow that. Once you get adopted, or once you do the adoption, it's a done deal. Mine was a done deal.
Amen.
51 years ago, I was taken out of the family of the devil. No longer is the devil my father, and I was placed into the family of God. Now God is my father. Can you imagine? Can you think about that process?
Yeah.
Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Think about the blessing of being part of the family of the Creator of the universe. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Romans 8:14. But as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the what? The sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, say it, Abba, Father. That Abba is an endearing term that literally means daddy.
That's right.
Daddy. You ever see little kids today? They call daddy. You know, every father wants to teach their child to say daddy before he or she says mommy. And the mother is trying to do the same thing. You gotta say mommy, 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 mommy. Now in the schools are saying, no. It's birthing parents.
No.
Yeah. The schools are teaching the kids that there's no more mother or father or mommy or daddy. It's birthing parents. Can you imagine trying to teach her say birthing parents? You can say mommy or daddy, but now it's birthing parents. That's the world we're living in today. Because they don't want, you can't teach them, you got to teach them the right pronouns. I heard of a kid that wanted to be called a car. An automobile, car. No, I'm not a boy, I'm a car. Okay, all right, you're a car. But we've been adopted. We have this amazing ability today to be able to call our Heavenly Father Daddy.
Amen.
Now, listen, as a grown man, I never referred to my father as daddy. I used to call him dad. What'd you call him, Buck? Dad. That's what we call him. Mom was mom. Or some people like to call her ma, just M-A, ma. But most of the time, we just referred to her as mom or dad. But we have such an enduring father today in heaven that we can call him and refer to him as our daddy.
Amen.
That's a loving term. A very, very loving term. Let me finish this. So we have this adoption that has taken place in our life. Verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Look at Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Again, I'm trying to show you this adoption process that takes place when you get saved. You have been adopted from the family of the devil into the family of God. And now you can refer to God as your daddy. Now you can refer to God as your father. Before the devil was your father. Now you would have never probably referred to the devil as your father, would you?
No.
Probably not. But that's who he was, and that's what you were. You were a child of the devil before you got saved. But this adoption process took place the moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Look at Galatians 4 and verse 5. To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, there it is again, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ.
Yeah, boy.
I'm part of the family of God, and God is my Father. I can only speak for myself because I know my heart. I don't know your heart. You know where you are today. You know where you stand today. The question is, again, only two fathers, God or Satan. Only two families, God's family or the devil's family. The question is, which family are you in and who's your daddy? Who's your father? I like what this person said recently. While in God's family, why would you want to go next door and visit the devil's family? Stop and think about that. While you're in God's family, why would you want to go next door and visit the devil's family? But there's a lot of people doing that today. Visiting the devil's family. And listen, we're part of God's family.
Amen.
That is so. Now that's just a metaphor that the person was using, but it's a great truth to try to drive home that that's who we are. We're part of God's family. We have a responsibility. Since God is my Father, I have a responsibility to exalt His name and bring a good name to my Father. We always try to do that as children of our parents. We always, I hope and pray that you would never want to bring disgrace to your family name. Right? You wouldn't want to do that. You shouldn't want to do that anyway. If you do, let's change you today and get that figured out, because you should want to bring a good name to your family's name. Now, it doesn't mean that we're perfect and all of us have done things that we shouldn't have and all of that. We all understand that, but we, as a goal, as a Christian, should want to bring a good name to our Father. We should want to bring a good name to Jesus Christ. After all, we're in His family. Our last name now is Christian. Christian. Christ-like. As a saved person, you became a Christian. That's pretty much your last name now, is in a spiritual sense, as far as having a name. You're Corey Christian, Kathy Christian, Terry Christian, Doug and Donna Christian, Kirk and Brenda Christian. That's kind of what we are today. Mm-hmm. Is we represent our Father. We represent the family that we're in. And so we need to think about that. Listen, it's only two. I can't find another family mentioned in the Bible other than God's family or the devil's family. There are no other families there. When it comes to a spiritual destination, when it comes to a spiritual family. There's only two fathers that I know of, and yes, I know the Bible's full of all kinds of men that are considered fathers, but when it comes to a spiritual aspect, there's only two. It's God, the Father, or as Jesus said in John 8:44, the devil is your father. Which one is your father? Which family are you part of today? You know the answer to that, don't you?
Amen.
Those of you and I that are saved, we know God is our Father, and I belong to the family of God. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus loves you so much, He wants to adopt you into His family.
Amen.
God wants to bring you into His family. But you know, He's not going to force you. He's not going to coerce you. He's not going to do anything. He wants you to want to be in that family. That's how you get adopted into the family. You say, God, I want you as my Father. Jesus Christ, I want you as my Lord and Savior. And so when you pray and you ask Jesus Christ to save you, that's when the adoption process takes place. And so if you're not saved today, God wants to adopt you.
Amen.
He is one of those, you know, there's people that just love to adopt. That's why I don't believe in abortion at all.
Amen.
Period. Well, but what about no? No. There's no situation or circumstance that I believe that abortion is right.
Right.
There are so many parents today willing to adopt a child or children.
Right.
We have some in our church that have been adopted. There's no reason. You can't spin that at all. That's the way it is. And when I think about that, the parents that are longing to adopt a child, I think of Jesus Christ longing to adopt you.
Amen.
He's longing. He's just saying, give me the opportunity to be your father.
Right.
Give me the opportunity to be your Lord and Savior. I want you into my family.
Amen.
But again, he's not going to make you. He's not going to force you. He wants you to want to.
Amen.
He wants you to make that choice. He's already made the choice for you by dying on the cross.
That's right.
Shed all of his blood for you, died for you, suffered and bled and died for you because he loves you so much. He's saying, trust me and you're in my family.
Amen.
Don't trust him, you're not in his family. It's that simple. You can't get it any more simpler than that. God doesn't make it complicated. Trust him, get saved, or refuse, reject, and you're not saved. Two families, two fathers, two fruits. That's all we have time for today to look at. I have some other things that we just don't have time to get into, but I just want to leave it at that. Listen, if you're not saved, please don't leave this building
right.
today.
That's right.
Don't leave the building in another family that you don't want to be in.
Amen.
Get into the family of God today.
Amen.
Well, I'll tell you, the blessings in that family are incredible.
Amen.
You can't find a better family to be
Amen.
A member of.
Amen.
You can't find a better father anywhere on the planet.
Amen.
God the Father is the ultimate father to have. You can't find a better family to be. Your family may have a tremendous name, but I'll tell you, the name of God and His family is the best family to be part of.
Amen.
And once you're in, you ain't getting out.
Amen.
You're not getting out. The Lord will never say, just get out of my... I'm tired of you. You've done all of these things against me. Get out of my family. He will never, ever throw you back into the family of the devil. And the other great thing is the devil can't ever want you back. Now, he might want you back, but he can't get you back.
Yeah. That's right.
Because you're in God's hand. And once you're in God's hands, Christ has got you, and you're not leaving the family. I don't know of any Christian that would really want to get out of the family of God anyway.
Right.
There's people that may have said that. I'm tired of being saved. That's it. I'm done. God, let me out. Let me go. Let me go back to the devil. I don't know of any Christian that would really want to say that.
Right.
There may be some Christians who might live a life like that. But I'll tell you something. There's not a better family to be part of. Please, join the family of God today. Please make God your father if he's not. I can't make it either. But I know that I have a Lord and Savior that is loving you so much right now. Loving you so much. If you were the only person ever on the planet, he would have died for you personally.
Amen.
Regardless of what you've said, done, thought, he would have died for you to give you the plan of salvation so you can make that choice. And you do have a choice. We all have a choice. Father, thank you again for the message. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. I pray today, Lord, if there's somebody here that's not in your family, make that clear to them. Convict them of that thought of what family they're in. Lord, I thank you so much that you're my Father. I thank you so much that I'm part of your family. Lord, you've been so good to me. You've been so good to all of us, Lord, that's in your family. You take care of our needs. You listen to us. You love us. You care about us. Thank you, Lord, for that. Bless this invitation. Whatever your will is, Lord, I pray that it would be done. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. If you need to come for something right now, we pray that you come. Maybe you just need your save, and you know that.